WCW NWO Sold Out 1998 took place on January 28th, 1998 in Dayton, Ohio. Last year's Sold Out was produced by the NWO, but this year's event was a joint production by WCW and the NWO. The pay-per-views would continue like this until Uncensored 1999. We have an estimated 380,000 pay-per-view buys for Sold Out, down significantly from Starrcade 1997, but still pretty good. And we've also got a 5,500 sellout inside the venue. WCW were using bigger venues for Nitro shows. Our show's headlined by Lex Luger vs Randy Savage, a match that oddly didn't have a whole lot of recent storyline behind it. And in the semi-main event, we've got Bret Hart making his WCW in-ring debut against WCW legend Nature Boy Ric Flair. Tony Schiavone makes it clear that Kevin Nash is in the building tonight. He didn't appear at Starrcade, if you remember, so Nash vs the Giant is also definitely going to take place at tonight's show. We're also going to hear another announcement from JJ Dillon regarding the World Heavyweight title. Let's get started with our opening match then, and let's see if WCW's first pay-per-view of the year was as good as the World Wrestling Federation's. A cruiserweight 8-man tag kicks off Sold Out 1998. Juventud Guerrera, Super Colo, Liz Mark Jr. and Chavo Guerrero versus La Parca, Silver King, Psychosis and heck of a wrestler, great technician, serious professional and jam-up guy, El Dandy. Super Colo counters a powerbomb attempt with an arm drag to kick the action off, and Colo backflipped off Psychosis before hitting a power slam. This looked great. Silver King and Liz Mark Jr. got in the ring and the Lucha Cowboy kicked the camera while missing a corner attack. Mike Tenay said, here, don't be fooled by the stocky physique of Silver King, and I thought that was kind of funny. The King made up for it though with a tornado DDT. Chavito and El Dandy got inside the ropes and everyone's favourite Jam Master took a monkey flip followed by a back body drop. Both guys tumble to the outside when Chavo holds on after an arm drag, and this allows La Parca and Hoovy to get inside the ropes. La Parca is so fired up tonight. The two perform baseball slides on Chavo and El Dandy before La Parca intentionally falls face first on the apron. La Parca then catches Hoovy after a springboard, and man, La Parca must have been smoking Hulk Hogan's funny cigarettes tonight because he's on top form. La Parca finds himself in the wrong corner though, and he flies out of the ring after a diving hurricanrana from Guerrera. Psychosis then runs in to take out Hoovy, and check out Liz Mark Jr.'s clothesline to Psychosis. Holy shit. El Dandy says, I want a piece of that action, but he's no match for Super Colo tonight. He quickly gets out to fill up his jam meter, and Silver King gets in there to perform an airplane spin. Hoovy gets in and Silver King sets him up on the top rope, but Guerrera counters and we see the 450 splash. La Parca runs in to break up the cover, and then we get the compulsory multiple dives over the top rope to the outside, and I'm not complaining, I love this stuff. I'd say the air Hoovy looked the best here, but El Dandy's dive was also pretty sweet. Psychosis and Chavo do not perform dives. Instead, they stay in the ring and Chavo wins the match by performing a tornado DDT. La Parca isn't going to settle for that though, so the chairman of WCW takes out the entire babyface team with chair shots. He then turns on his own team and he takes those guys out too. He sets the chair up in the middle of the ring, he dances, and he then picks the chair up and he walks away with his head held high. Fucking awesome. A fun opening match here at Sold Out 1998. If you want to see what the cruiserweights were all about, then this is a great place to start. Next up, we finally get to see Chris Benoit versus Raven, a match that's been months in the making and a match that was supposed to take place at Starrcade. Dave Penzer announces that Raven must wrestle tonight. He can't send in one of his cronies to wrestle the match for him, and the flock's going to be barred from ringside too. Raven says once again he's been left all alone, but Raven isn't afraid. He doesn't fear Benoit's pain, he'll feast on it. Thanks, Raven. The crowd pops when Chris Benoit's theme music plays in the arena. Dave Penzer announces that this will be a Raven's rules match, no disqualifications, and Raven attacks when Benoit tries to get inside the ring. Benoit takes some punishment at the guardrails and ring steps while Tony Schiavone says the referee's being very lenient, totally forgetting that this is an ODQ match. Raven performs a few snapmare takeovers and Benoit gets his head drilled into the mat. Benoit then takes a knee to the midsection, but he counters a second attempt with a cover, only scoring a two count. The crowd chants Raven sucks as Chris gets thrown out of the ring and Raven smacks Benoit across the back with a steel chair. Raven drops an elbow on Benoit before the match gets back inside the ring, where Raven performs another snapmare takeover. This time Benoit lands on a chair, and the chair gets used again when Raven performs a bulldog. After all this punishment, Benoit still kicks out at 2. Raven looks at the audience wondering what he has to do next. He decides he's going to perform the drop toe hold on the chair, but this was a mistake because Benoit counters and Raven sells it really, really well. The two get back to their feet and here we go. 4 hard knife edge chops from Benoit gets followed up with an insanely fast hook clothesline. Raven takes a snap suplex on the legs of the chair and Benoit rips Raven's shirt off so he can make full contact with more chops. The chair gets set up in the corner but Raven gets out of the ring before Chris can do anything with it, but a baseball slide sends the Flocks leader into the guardrails and this match is gonna go all the way back to the entranceway. Raven tries to crawl away but he takes a suplex on the ramp before Chris brings it back to the ring. Benoit then attempts to suplex Raven again on the chair, but he misses the target. So he makes up for it by placing the chair on Raven's head and stomping the chair as hard as he can. Fucking brutal. Chris wants to end it. He goes up for the headbutt. He performs the move, but clearly he didn't think this one through. Chris whacks the chair and the referee's gonna begin a 10 count. If neither man gets up, it's gonna be a draw. Mickey J gets the 8 before Chris covers Raven. Raven kicks out and the crowd pops. I could have watched this match for another 10 minutes or so, but the match then comes to an end when Chris goes for a Northern Lights suplex and Raven counters with his Even Flow DDT. Raven's been so badly hurt that he can't pin Chris, and once again, the referee counts, and it's Benoit who manages to cover Raven, not the other way around. Raven kicks out, his second Even Flow attempt gets countered with the Crippler Crossface, and while Raven doesn't submit, he also can't continue. The referee raises his arm 3 times before calling for the bell. Chris Benoit wins the match. Dean Malenko intercepts an attack from Billy Kidman and Kidman gets locked in the Texas Cloverleaf. I'm not sure if it's how the arena's been mic'd up tonight, but the audience is going absolutely nuts and it comes across really, really loud on TV. The rest of Raven's Flock then hits the ring and Van Hammer gets Raven out of harm's way. Benoit and Malenko fight the Flock off and the crowd cheers as Dean and Chris look at each other. Sold out's 2 for 2 so far in my book. I thought this Raven match was exactly what it needed to be. Some would maybe say that Raven should have won the bout for the sake of making him a bigger threat, and yeah, I kinda agree to a certain extent, but the fans in attendance loved the outcome and they made a lot of noise, so the trade-off wasn't that bad. Chris Jericho vs Rey Mysterio for the Cruiserweight title is our next contest. WCW played hot potato with the Cruiserweight title over the last 2 weeks with 3 title changes. Chris Jericho, meanwhile, has really shown WCW fans what he's capable of as a character by turning heel a few weeks back, and he's been doing some great work so far. He keeps this up at the beginning of the match here by failing to understand why the fans are booing him. The crowd chants Jericho sucks and Chris decides he's gonna take it out on Rey. He laughs at the Cruiserweight champion after squaring up to him and he toys with Rey during a rope break. Rey gets a little revenge by slapping Chris across the face and Jericho falls down to the canvas, but Chris gets up and he runs right through the Cruiserweight champion. Not one to give up so easily, Rey turns it around with a springboard head scissor takedown that sends Jericho flying out of the ring, and he feigns a 619 to keep Chris on his toes. Rey then grabs his left knee and it looks like he might have re-injured it. Jericho smells blood in the water, but Rey fights him off and he applies a chin lock to keep the challenger at bay. Chris manages to stand up while still in the hold, but he gets rolled up and he almost loses the match. Jericho finds himself on the apron where Rey goes for another high-risk attack, but Chris counters with an apron stun gun. Rey then takes a backbreaker on the outside before Chris sets up the ring steps for a jumping forearm smash. Chris is very pleased with his handiwork afterwards. Back in the ring, Chris puts a little more focus on the left knee, and every time Rey gets an opening, he grabs his knee beforehand. He's able to pull off an inverted facebuster, and Rey continues to ignore the pain by hitting a baseball slide on Jericho before performing a somersault plancha. Chris then gets his head smacked off the ring steps and Mysterio signals for the end, but Chris stops the West Coast Pop by throwing himself into the ropes. The two then struggle to take advantage at the top turnbuckle, but Rey gets in position for a Super Hurricane Rana. He goes for the move, but Chris counters right into a Lion Tamer and Rey has no choice but to give up. I thought the Lion Tamer looked brilliant, by the way. We have a new Cruiserweight champion, it's sold out, and the champ has something to say. Jericho says he just realized something after winning tonight's match. The fans really like him. They really, really like him. When the audience boos, Chris says he'll give the fans a reason to boo, and he attacks Rey. He ends up taking Rey's knee brace off, and he places Mysterio's leg over the ring steps. He then grabs a giant production box, and he rams it right into Mysterio's knee. After the attack, Chris says he's sorry, feigning sympathy for his actions, and it all ends with Rey getting carried out of the arena due to Jericho's attack. Another good match here, not as good as the previous two, but still definitely worth a watch. Just when you're enjoying some good wrestling matches, you get reminded about the messy WCW World title picture. JJ Dillon's in the ring, and he's got the World Heavyweight title. So basically, in storyline, the belt's held up because Hulk Hogan's claiming to still be world champion after Sting's shoulders were counted to the mat twice, once at Starrcade and again on Nitro, yet Sting still left those two matches as the winner in the record books. The executive committee decided to vacate the title, and Dillon says there's been a lot of discussions regarding what's going to happen next. Dillon says he spoke to the old interim commissioner, Roddy Piper, about the current situation, and Roddy gave him some sound advice. Piper's in the arena tonight, so Mean Gene introduces the Hot Rod, and Piper gets a great ovation during his entrance. Piper says JJ Dillon spoke to him before Starrcade, and it was Roddy Piper who put together the Sting vs. Hogan match that took place at the pay-per-view. Yeah, okay. Piper says he feels responsible for the current title mess and he wants to fix it, so Piper wants Sting and Hulk Hogan to come down to the ring. The Stinger shows up and the crowd goes nuts. Hogan shows up along with Scott Hall and Eric Bischoff, and Piper says Scott Hall won the World War III Battle Royal and he worked hard to get his title shot, but seeing as there's no champion at the moment, Scott's going to have to wait it out a little longer before he gets his opportunity. Hogan thinks Piper's just going to put the belt around his waist right at this very moment, but no. It's Super Brawl next month, we're going to see Sting vs. Hogan one more time, and the winner of the match will become the new World Heavyweight Champion. I like how there's no safeguards announced here to ensure the same bullshit doesn't happen again, but Hogan isn't happy, and he shoves the Stinger. When Sting squares up to Hogan, the Hulkster looks to Scott Hall for backup, but Scott's rightfully pissed off that he's not getting his title shot next month, and he walks away from the ring. Hogan and Bischoff have no choice but to get out of the ring before Sting and Piper kick their asses, and after they walk back up the ramp, the Stinger tells them to suck it. This gets a big pop from the audience. So there you have it, the nonsense continues. In an effort to milk Sting vs. Hogan for all it's worth, WCW completely dropped the ball, and the bullshittery gets extended for another few weeks until we reach Super Brawl. The TV title match between Booker T and Rick Martel's up next. Martel saved Booker's ass on Nitro, and in return, Booker's granted Rick a title shot. Rick even kept the belt around Booker's waist when he complained about Saturn pinning Booker while using the ring ropes. So it's really thanks to Martel that Booker's still the television champion. Martel paid a hefty price though. Saturn and Kidman attack Rick on Thunder and he got thrown through a glass door, so don't be surprised if Saturn tries to get some more revenge during this match. Looks like our hashtag TV title conspiracy movement worked, guys. Amazing what we can do when we get together. Booker gives a clean break in the corner at the opening bell, but Martel goes down after a shoulder tackle. A drop down and leapfrog sequence ends with Martel performing a roll up, but Booker kicks out and Martel gets hit with a clothesline after a failed hip toss attempt. Martel gets locked in an armbar, and when he gets out, Booker performs a suplex. We then see the spinneroony and the Harlem sidekick, and Booker goes straight back to the arm. The crowd have quietened down for this one quite a bit too. Rick eventually gets out and he performs a second rope clothesline. Booker's like, what the fuck just happened afterwards? So Booker gets himself up and he almost takes Martel's head off with a spinning back kick. There's another armbar right there. That's three. And another. That's four. Martel gets up and he tries a leapfrog, but Booker headbutts the former model right in the midsection, and Booker shows a little compassion afterwards. He wants to check on Rick to make sure he's okay in a fucking wrestling match, but surprise surprise, Martel was playing possum. Booker takes a ton of shots in the corner, he gets launched into the opposite corner, Martel performs a gut-wrench suplex, and all this isn't enough, so there's only one thing to do at a time like this, chin lock. Somehow Booker survives, I've no idea how, so Martel tries an abdominal stretch, and yeah, they've lost the crowd here, way too many holds in this one. The audience eventually makes a little noise when Booker performs his forearm smash, but they're silenced again when he misses a dropkick. This gives Martel a chance to apply the Quebec crab, but Booker makes it to the ropes. We then see the axe kick, the sidewalk slam, Booker performs the Harlem Hangover, and Booker T retains. And I just can't recommend this one at all, unfortunately, and I really wish I could. Martel presents the belt to Booker afterwards, and the two show some respect to each other. Booker leaves the ring, and Saturn attacks Martel. Saturn hits Rick with an exploder suplex, and Booker T runs back in for the save. Saturn calls Rick Martel a stooge, and yeah, Saturn's right. Martel is a little stooge. So we'll assume for now that Martel's going to move into a feud with Perry Saturn. Scott Hall versus Larry Zbyszko's up next, and Larry said on Thunder he's gonna bring someone with him tonight to the ring. Scott heard this, so he's brought along his new little crony, Louis Spicoli. Many people wonder how these two got together in storyline, and many people don't know because they didn't watch Thunder. Quite simply, Louis stole Larry Zbyszko's golf clubs, and Scott thought this was great. And that's it, that's how it happened. Larry Zbyszko points to the commentary table, and Dusty Rhodes leaves his position to join the living legend. So the American Dream's gonna stand in Zbyszko's corner tonight. So here we go, this one's been in the making for quite some time. Hall toys around with Zbyszko, but the bad guy hits the mat after a single leg takedown. Scott goes down again after a fireman's carry, and Scott has to force a rope break while Larry applies a wrist lock followed by a hammer lock. The two then tread carefully when trying to lock hands for a test of strength, but Zbyszko decides to smack Hall across the face instead, and Scott can't believe it. Larry then lures Hall in for an abdominal stretch, but Scott counters with a hip toss, and he follows this up with a big right hand. Larry gets launched into the ropes, and Larry applies another abdominal stretch. Scott just can't get started tonight. Scott has to get to the ropes when Zbyszko goes for a front chancery, but he fights back with a big right hand that almost knocks Larry out of the ring. Spicoli gets in a cheap shot on the outside, and Dusty gives Spicoli a warning as Scott continues to punish Larry. The crowd can't make their mind up here. They chant Larry's name as the living legend gets clotheslined in the corner, but when it goes to the mat and Scott stretches Zbyszko, the audience chants Larry sucks. A few seconds later, they chant Hall sucks. A Scott Hall survey would have sorted this out, but this, of course, is the one show where he didn't do it. Zbyszko goes down after a fallaway slam, or the sack of shit as Scott liked to call it, and Hall says he's too sweet to the camera. The bad guy signals for the outsider's edge, he gets Larry in position, but the living legend counters with a backdrop and Scott gets his ass kicked from corner to corner. Larry lays in a ton of body shots and it looks like he's gonna win this one, but a really badly timed kick sees the referee take a bump, and now we have a problem. Scott nails Larry with a clothesline, but there's no one to count the pin. We see Larry's playing possum when Scott and Louis try to wake up the referee. Hall goes back over to Larry after Zbyszko lays on the mat again, and Scott finds himself in the Larry Land Dreamer. Spicoli tries to break it up, but here comes Dusty Rhodes. The crowd pops as Dusty hits Louis with a ton of bionic elbows, and Scott's now in real trouble. Zbyszko holds Scott up for the last elbow, but Dusty accidentally hits Zbyszko. Or was it accidentally? Scott Hall points to Dusty, Dusty unbuttons his shirt, and there you have it, Dusty Rhodes is part of the New World Order. The American Dream has turned his back on tradition, and he said fuck you to WCW. Hall and Dusty take turns at dropping elbows on Larry before leaving the ring. Spicoli comes along too, even after taking all those bionic elbows. And that's it, the referee awards the match to Larry Zbyszko, and the commentators couldn't believe what they just witnessed. The match wasn't good, and I know a lot of people didn't like Dusty joining the New World Order and they felt it was pointless. It was fun though, going back and watching the crowd react. The Steiners and Ray Trailer take on Scott Norton, Buff Bagwell, and Conan next. This match was supposed to happen at Starrcade, though Conan couldn't make the show. Since then, we've had variations of this match on Nitro, and I'm not so sure anyone cared to see it at this point, but the story going in here centered around Scott Steiner's new attitude. Scott was winning tag matches on his own and refusing to tag in his brother, so Rick makes sure that he's the one starting the match and Scott's just gonna have to wait for his turn. Scott was incredibly irritable throughout the match, even going after the referee and making the poor guy shit himself. Scott would run in and beat up his opponents while the ref tried to maintain order, and he wouldn't stand on his side of the apron when waiting for a tag. Eventually, Rick reaches out for a tag and both Ray Trailer and Scott Steiner tag in at the same time. Scott completely wrecks Big Norton and he performs a dragon suplex on Conan. Scott then goes back to his corner and Trailer says fuck it and he tags Scott in. Scotty wins the match with the Steiner screwdriver. The match was all centered around Scotty, and that's not a bad thing really. Seeing seeing the Steiner brothers having issues was something fans never expected to see, and I thought it was a good idea to stretch it out a bit too. It made Scotty seem like way more of a dick, seeing as he was continually being selfish. He and Buff Bagwell have a little pose down after the match, and then the two share words together. It looks a bit friendly. Scott's teammates, meanwhile, seem a little concerned about this exchange of words. Next up is the big Kevin Nash vs Giant match, which maybe should have been the main event of the show, to be honest. It was certainly more anticipated than Luger vs Savage. Kevin Nash did not show up at Starrcade for his match against the big man, so WCW forced Nash and the NWO to put up a $1.5 million performance bond. The NWO agreed to pay up if the Giant didn't lay a finger on Nash in the run-up to the pay-per-view, and the Giant agreed. Nash would taunt the Giant afterwards and try to get under his skin. He attacked the Giant on Thunder during a Giant vs Scott Hall match, but the big man showed restraint because he knew he'd get his hands on Big Sexy at Sold Out. Instead of attacking Kevin Nash, the Giant fucking destroyed the ring by pulling up a ring post. Moments in Thunder history that you totally forgot happened. Hulk Hogan and Bischoff are with Kevin Nash at Sold Out and the Giant's all alone. Nash squares up to the big man, but Giant shoves him away, and when the two lock up, they stay locked up for a pretty long time. It's Kevin Nash though that's able to grab a side headlock, but it's the Giant who's able to counter with a massive back suplex. Hogan and Bischoff can't believe it. The Giant drops an elbow on Big Sexy and Nash gets squashed like a bug in the corner. The Giant chokes Nash with his big boot and Nash has to take a timeout. This isn't going too well. Giant waits for Nash to get back inside the ropes and Big Kev takes the lead. A few right hands gets followed up with a corner clothesline and Nash tells the Giant to suck on that. The Giant decides he's going to perform a corner clothesline of his own and Nash goes down after a big boot. Nash gets choked again before getting tossed to the other side of the ring. Big Kev then fucking leapfrogs over the Giant before returning the favour with a big boot, but the Giant doesn't go down. Even a clothesline over the top rope doesn't put the Giant on his back, so Nash decides to try a plancha and his foot gets caught on the ropes. Thankfully, the Giant's there to save his ass and Kev ends up getting rammed into the ring post. It could have been way worse. As Giant throws Nash back in the ring, Hulk Hogan whacks him with a steel chair. Nash then thinks he's about to get a countout victory, but the Giant makes it back inside the ropes, so Nash keeps the pressure on with multiple leapfrog body guillotines. An elbow to the back of the head seems to wake the Giant up and Nash gets fucking rocked with a clothesline. Nash gets up, the two stare at each other, they both go for the big boot and both men hit the mat. Nash breaks the 10 count by covering the Giant, but Giant kicks out. Giant then takes a few shots in the corner, but he manages to counter with an inverted atomic drop. And Nash gets hit with multiple clotheslines, but he keeps getting back up. A big boot and a body slam though does the job, and Nash is now in trouble. Eric Bischoff decides to jump on the apron, and he pays for it dearly. Eazy-E gets chokeslammed, but this gives Nash a chance to throw hot coffee in the Giant's face, and he hits a low blow afterwards. He then goes for the jackknife, and... Nash wins via pinfall, but that jackknife was scary, very scary. Nash powerbombed the Giant previously, it happened at Super Brawl 7 and Nash destroyed his back while doing the move. He said he tried and tried to get the sold out powerbomb taken out of the match, but he was told he had to do it. So he did the move again. Giant suffers a legit neck injury that could have been career or even life threatening, and Kevin Nash once again fucks up his back. Nash said that in the end he himself ended up more severely injured from this than the Giant, which is fucking unbelievable, but I wouldn't for a moment think that Nash wasn't telling the truth. The Giant had definitely put on more weight since Super Brawl 7 last year, and I'm sure being covered in coffee didn't help matters either, but yeah, a frightening moment here at Sold Out 98. Ric Flair vs Bret Hart is our next match, Bret's first match in WCW, and a match that came about because Rick wasn't too happy about the Hitman calling himself the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Bret said he had a lot of respect for Flair and he understood how much Flair meant to professional wrestling, but Bret still believed he was the best and their match tonight at Sold Out's gonna prove it. This is the first time we've seen Bret wear the pink and black since Survivor Series 1997, and I'm sure he was itching to get back in the ring. Hart has no recorded matches from Montreal to Sold Out, so let's see how he did against Slick Rick. Flair wants a break in the corner, and Mike Tenay says this is Flair playing mind games, but Rick forgets to move out, and Brett has Nate right where he wants him already. Hart performs a headlock takedown, and he keeps it locked in when Flair tries a quick pin. Rick throws the hitman into the ropes, but Brett puts Flair down with a shoulder block, and he follows this up with a power slam and another headlock takedown. The two get up, and Flair forces a corner break. Flair puts Brett down this time with a shoulder block, but Brett gets up and he performs a drop toe hold followed by the figure four. Flair's locked in his own hold, and the Nature Boy's quick to grab the ropes and force another break. Flair finds himself on the apron, and Brett brings him back in with a suplex. The Hitman applies a chin lock in anticipation of Davey Boy Smith showing up to Nitro on Monday night. The two get to their feet, and Rick goes straight back down after a top wrist lock. Rick then gets frustrated and he shoves Brett. Brett shoves back. Rick does it again, and Brett's like, fuck this, and Flair gets smacked in the face. Rick gets himself out of the ring where he can cool off a bit because, so far, Brett has completely out-wrestled the WCW legend. Flair's able to bring Brett down after a knee to the midsection, but instantly Brett turns it back around with a back body drop, a body slam, and another headlock takedown, and a side headlock. But Rick finally remembers that he's the dirtiest player in the game, and Hart takes a thumb to the eye and a hard knife-edge chop. Apparently, Brett hated taking these chops, by the way. Flair then counters a sleeper with a back suplex, and there's a low blow right there. Slick Rick up to no good. Rick drops an E, and he uses the ropes to help with his chin lock. That's chin locking on expert mode, guys. Brett takes another chop, and His Excellency gets choked out on the mat, and Brett isn't looking so good right now. It also looks like Brett doesn't want to take any more of those chops as he throws punches in the corner, and just like that, Brett's able to pull off a swinging neckbreaker, and Flair's momentum gets halted again. Brett pulls off a bulldog, and then he begins targeting the leg and knee. He goes for the ring post figure four, but Flair knows Brett's been pulling this move off, and he has it well scouted. Brett takes a few guardrail shots before Flair throws him back in. We see the knee breaker. Flair then pulls at Brett's leg before pulling off another knee drop, and then we see an enziguri from Brett, a move more associated with Brother Owen. Brett turns his back to Rick when arguing with the referee over a near fall, and Rick performs the chop block. He then applies the figure four, and Brett's now gonna get tested. Flair slaps Brett around while the hold's locked in. Brett hangs in there, and the Hitman manages to turn it over. Flair gets out, and he makes the mistake of going to the top rope. He gets slammed on the mat, and Brett follows this up with his Russian leg sweep. We don't see the elbow drop next though. Instead, Flair hits another knife edge chop, and Brett's like, please sir, may I have some more? Flair's happy to oblige, but Brett absorbs the shots, and Flair ends up on his knees begging for mercy. That's all she wrote, folks. Brett performs a backbreaker, his second rope elbow, we see a superplex, and Brett makes Nature Boy Ric Flair submit to the sharpshooter. I wouldn't say it was an all-time classic or anything, but I enjoyed this. It definitely felt more like a WWF match, but that's due to obvious reasons. The crowd stayed with it, and it looked like Brett had no issues getting used to the WCW ring, although he did say he didn't like it. This one, though, comes recommended. Luger versus Savage. I still don't understand why this was the main event. Macho Man hit the ring during Lex's match with Buff Bagwell at Starrcade, and Luger then said on Nitro he was coming after the Macho Man, and the two had a match the next week, a match that Luger won. On the first episode of Thunder, Luger hit Savage with a chair during a match with Chris Adams, and it was then announced that Luger would face Savage at Sold Out. Randy's been having issues with his NWO teammates though, mainly Kevin Nash. Savage decked Eric Bischoff when Bischoff was looking out for his best interests, and Nash returned the favour by wiping out Randy. Hollywood Hogan meanwhile has been trying to maintain the peace, but Hollywood sided with Nash a few times, and the Macho Man and the Hulkster have been close to fighting each other. There's more going on here with Randy Savage than there is with Lex Luger, but again, this match should not have been placed last on the card. We get a lot of time wasting to start off. It reminds me of a Nitro main event. Macho heads back up the entranceway, and Liz distracts Luger, allowing Randy to take advantage and get in a few shots at the guardrails. Inside the ring, Randy performs a double axe handle followed by a jumping clothesline. Luger kicks out, and Randy takes it out on the referee. A back suplex also fails to put Lex away, and Randy's cocky covers aren't doing much to help either. Lex takes a back elbow in the corner, and Lex gets choked out with Randy's boot. Miss Elizabeth gets in on the action too, and I'm just looking at the remaining runtime. We only have 6 minutes left of this show. It's the old boot in the corner that turns it around for Lex briefly, but it's Liz who once again causes issues for Luger, and Macho sends Lex out of the ring with a running knee attack. Lex then takes a double axe handle and a slap in the face from Liz. Macho throws Lex into the crowd, and this lady right here can't get enough of this hot WCW action. Lex gets the best of Macho in the audience, and Randy gets his head drilled into the ring post before the match gets back in the ring. Lex pulls off his multiple clotheslines, we see the forearm smash, and then Scott Hall and Hollywood Hogan show up. Take note, Scott Hall is not wearing his NWO shirt. Hogan tries to stop Hall from getting in to help Savage. Scott gets on the apron anyway, but he gets knocked off thanks to Hogan still trying to sway the bad guy. Lex then wins the match with the torture rack, and Hogan then attacks Lex. The whole NWO come down to beat up Luger, but the Stinger shows up to even the odds. Lex gets Kevin Nash in the torture rack while Sting applies the deathlock to Hollywood Hogan, and that's how it ended. Again, this felt like a Nitro main event, and it just wasn't good. There's nothing here at all, and the crowd only popped for the rack and Sting showing up. Sold Out 1998 wasn't bad. I checked other reviews after watching the show, and I don't think it's nearly as bad as what others make it out to be, but there are a few glaring issues with the show. Martel vs. Booker killed the audience for a while. Zbyszko vs. Hall was absolutely nothing to write home about, and I thought the main event was horrible. But I also think there's a lot of good on this show. The opener, Raven vs. Benoit, Jericho vs. Mysterio, and Hart vs. Flair were all fun to watch. And I'm not usually one for big man matches, but I thought Nash vs. The Giant was okay too. With all that in mind, I'd still recommend Sold Out 1998, but you can stop watching after Flair vs. Hart. You won't miss much, it's the same old shit. I hope you enjoyed this one though, guys, and I hope you join me for Reliving the War on Thursday, and we'll see what's next for WCW and the New World Order. Thanks for watching, guys, and take care.